This is Karen Lyle from Salesport Talk with the results of the first SailGP race in Cowes, UK. Team Australia's Tom Slingsby proved once again that he is the one to beat in the league's first season. Team Australia dominated the field with a sweep of the races. Team Australia was also the first F50 crew to break the 50-knot speed barrier in sail racing. Rome Kirby's USA team capsized in dramatic fashion within 30 seconds of the start of race one, but surprisingly was able to compete in the rest of the day's racing with quick assistance from the SailGP Tech team. Despite a tough day, Kirby's American team was able to climb the leaderboard for third place overall. The Great Britain SailGP team wasn't as lucky. On the last leg of the first race, the team dug its bow into the water, sending flight controller Chris Draper tumbling over Stuart Bittell in a dramatic crash. No injuries were sustained. However, the boat was too damaged to sail for the remainder of the day. Fletcher was massively disappointed, having had high hopes in his home event after breaking the 50-knot barrier and winning two of the two practice races earlier in the week. Matt Gottrell of Team Great Britain had a shout-out for his teammates.
Matt Gottrell, do you have any shout-outs for your teammates?
Oh, I mean, all the guys in the back, so like Dylan, Chris and Stu, kind of keeping us going in the right way and going real quick. It's been awesome. And us grinders just keep our head down and try and make their life as easy as possible and try and stop them shouting at us. But yeah, it's been an awesome team performance, and it's unreal to be mixing it at the top. So yeah, Dylan and Stu coming straight out of the 49, and they've done an awesome job.
Thank you so much.
The final race will be in Marseille, where the SailGP Championship trophy and $1 million awaits the season winner. Sir Russell Coutts tells what we can expect from SailGP and the final race in Marseille.
So SailGP, it's really the first of its kind, like Formula One on the water. We race a number of races all over the world and go back to the same venues each year. These are super fast boats and national teams, so it's year-round racing, and it's an annual competition. There's only one winner race for the whole season, with points added in each event, and there's a final between the two final boats in the last event, and that determines the season championship. And then the final event in Marseille, which of course is where the 2024 Olympic Games are going to be, and we're actually positioning that right alongside the breakwater. We're having bleacher seating on the breakwater so that people will be able to again get very, very close to the shore. National teams, at design team is made up of many different nationalities now. The events team and so forth is a really an international group of people. We have diverse spread of cultures, and I think that's fantastic. It's a global series, and we're a global organization.
This is Karen Lyle of Salesport Talk.
All right, we are back. Welcome to another live edition of Tittle Lang Sports. Rick Tittle at downtown San Francisco, and it is a SailSport Talk once again on a Tuesday. My host here, Karen Lyle, this is your deal. How you doing, Karen?
I'm doing great. This is our 20th show, Rick.
I don't know why your mic's not on there. Can you try it again? Try it again.
Hello, Rick. Can you hear me there?
There it is.
Okay.
Now your
That's
mic's
good.
On. Well, it's live radio.
So this is our 20th show now.
Is that right?
Our
You've been counting.
Week.
Well, next one,
yes.
Next show, we can drink legally.
I think we can.
It'll be 21.
Well, what will we have?
What if you're watching on Twitch.tv, you see on the other webcam here, we're very happy to have Walt Rainieri with us. He was part of Team USA of blind sailors that took third place at the World Championships of Blind Match Racing in the waters off of Glasgow in Scotland. And if you can see on Twitch, I'm holding up the bronze medal that he won in 2018, and the one from the World Match Race Championship 2 years before. Walt, thank you so much for coming in. And I honestly had not heard of blind sailing, and I'm just absolutely have nothing but admiration for how you guys are able to pull that off. So how do you go about blind racing?
You know, any good coach, any good sailing coach is going to tell you, close your eyes, and get a sense of where the boat is, how it's healing, where's the wind coming from. And in fact, a lot of sports, there are moments when you're going to close your eyes to just recenter yourself, whether it's in between a play, in between a pitch, in something to just allow yourself to resettle. And for us blind sailors, it's all about sound, of course. We have audible buoys on the race course, and I mentally prepare a kind of digital map in my brain as to where I am on the course, listening to the buoys, identify with some mental triangulation that I'm on the right side or the left side. And, of course, with match racing, it's kind of like one-on-one, so I need to know where that other boat is, too, because it's trying to make my life miserable.
Mm-hmm.
So, Walt, you have three people in your team. Is that correct?
Yeah, so the blind match racing, there's three blind people on board, no one sighted. And the first time I say this to people, they're like, what? No one sighted? Yep, no one sighted on board. And so we navigate around the course by listening to where the port, which is the left side, the starboard, which is the right side, and the windward, which is the upwind buoy. They each make unique sounds. And by virtue of, see, I'm a little bit closer to the starboard one. I'm farther from the port one. And, oh, I'm below the line or I'm above the line. And then each boat has a sound emitter that says that I'm on port tack or I'm leaning to the right or I'm on starboard tack, I'm leaning to the left. And so I know what the other boat's doing. They know what I'm doing. And sometimes it's a little bit of controlled chaos. Two boats are going right at one another and there's blind people on board and they can't see. And those sound indicators really help out to identify who needs to keep out of the way and when.
It's incredibly brave. Now, I can just think, are you tethered to the boat? Because if you go on the water, obviously you don't know where the boat or a buoy or land is. So how do you go about that for precautionary reasons?
Yeah, there are no real adaptations for blind sailing other than the audible marks. You're not tethered. You're on the boat. I do wear a helmet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at the back of the boat, and sometimes the boom swings across. I think that's why they call it the boom, because it hits people in the head. And when I've been, it's called a head strike. I've had a few of those, and I've been very grateful that I've been wearing a helmet. So, you know, for all of you sports enthusiasts out there, you're familiar with those, you know, those moments when things don't go exactly right, and it's good to have the right equipment around. And for sailing, it's pretty minimal. Gloves, because you don't want your hands all ripped up with the lines, and something on your head so you don't get whacked.
So, Walt, you weren't always blind. You had that happen as an adult and then learned how to sail blind. What would you share of your own experience for those who have challenges in life as to how you move forward?
You know, I'm going to correct you a little bit and say that it's not if you're going to have a challenge, you will have a challenge. It could be on any level. It could be a relationship. It could be you broke your arm. It could be that you go blind. So about 15 years ago, I closed my eyes and I just wasn't able to open them. In about 5 months, I lost all my vision. And that was traumatic. It was like a death. It was like and what's really interesting in terms of my transition, as a young child, I was told, because this is it's a disease that I was born with, a guillotine's hanging over my head my entire life, and it finally fell about 15 years ago, and nothing can really prepare you for that. A lot of your listeners, you don't prepare every day for the worst thing that can happen, but sometimes it does, and the most important thing you need is an adaptive mindset to move forward, because without it, you know, you're going to get stuck. And it's all about, as human beings, to stay relevant, to stay connected on the planet Earth with other human beings, you got to keep moving forward.
It's amazing stuff. We're speaking with Walt Rainieri, who's with us, Team USA of Blind Sailors. And I know that when you were over there in the UK, the BBC was quite taken with you, Scottish TV, radio TV, and you met Princess Anne. I mean, it's pretty cool to be treated like royalty, huh?
What's really funny is that the day before, we had a protocol officer come, and I'm sure, you know, many sports individuals at the high end of the game are invited to meet with the heads of state and things. So she comes in with her helicopter entourage, and you know, we interrupt sailing to come on shore. The protocol officer says, okay, you guys are blind, so no bowing because you might hit her. And when I met her, not only am I blind, but I have to wear blackout goggles to just make absolutely sure that the person steering the boat cannot see anything. And when I met her, I said to her, I go, so what would it be like if you had to wear these when you go sailing? And she paused for a moment and said, I have so many other issues going on, I don't need one more. And isn't that true of all of us? So,
not bad.
You know, the idea of everyone's connected in this way. And I sort of view everyone listening right now, you're all sailors. Some of you just don't know it yet.
I love that.
Walt, you have you're a timekeeper for your team oftentimes when you're sailing.
I
Can
am.
You tell us how you do that?
So I use two timekeeping devices. In sail racing, it's critically important to know when the sequence starts for the race. And it's either for match racing, it's 7 minutes. For fleet racing, it's 5 minutes. I have two timing devices, one on right now, I happen to be wearing them, one on one wrist and one on the other. One makes vibration and beeping noises. And the vibration is critical because in the middle of the wind going by your ears and the sails flogging, which means they're flapping back and forth, making a bunch of noise, I need to feel what time it is. And I've got another one that actually speaks out loud. It actually, it would say, I'll set it for 7 minutes, and it will say out loud, six, and then four, and then two, and then one, and then 55, 50, 40. When I show these devices to sighted sailors, they want them. Because, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you're driving a sports car, and you don't have time to look down at the gas gauge. Because you're going 250 miles an hour coming into a turn. Mm-hmm. And having something spoken out loud, I think, really, really assists with that process. And for me, it's critical because I need to know exactly when the race starts, to know exactly that I'm on the line and not over the line. And that's actually a little challenging because knowing where you are on the line, listening to two different sounds, thinking, I hope I'm right in between them, but not on the other side of them, is part of the game.
That's pretty amazing, and I want to make sure I get this in and hold it up to the Twitch cameras. I have here in my hands an interesting little shackle that came from the very top of the mast, the crow's nest, so to speak. What's the story behind this?
Right, so this is the day before the World Championship was going to begin in Scotland, and we were in our final race prep mode, and we go out, and all of a sudden this pulls up the big sail. And the shackle broke, so you can see it's all bent. And so what happens is it goes all the way to the top of the mast, and there's no way to get up there unless you climb up the mast. And so for the principal, so World Sailing Technical Delegate runs around in a little chase boat to make sure that, you know, everything's going according to plan. And there we were out in the middle of this Clyde River estuary, large body of water. And I'm standing at the mast because you can't move forward without the engine. The engine's the big, is the sails. I'm standing at the mast contemplating climbing up the mast in the middle of the ocean with the waves going on and everything else. And she comes up, Liz Bayless comes up, and without saying a word, because she knows me, she says, "Walt, you will not climb the mast out here." And so we go back to the dock, and it was like, well, what do we do? And I said, you know what? And this is a great sports comment. When there's only one thing to do, everything gets easy. So there's only one thing to do. Someone's got to climb the mast, and I'm the skipper, and I said, I'll do it. So I climbed to the top of this, 36-foot-ish mast and retrieved this shackle. And when you end up after a sporting event, one of the things that you keep with you amongst trophies and everything else are the memories. And I keep this shackle because it's just as important to memory as the bling hardware.
Can I see that shackle?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I just have a question about that. So you're carrying with you a tool when you go up there because you can't see it. So it has a little little head on the shackle so that you can. Was this just detached and you just had to remove it from the grommet in the sail, or did you have to use your tool?
So it did not. The sail didn't rip. The head of the sail just fell down, And that just was pinned up way at the very tip top of the mast. So the shackle was still connected.
Oh, it was caught in the top of the mast and in the shreve, the little gouge.
It just went all the way to the very top of the mast. Mm-hmm. And so the halyard pinned it way up there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was still connected to the halyard. And you know, there's no way to get up there because you can't just release the halyard because there's not enough weight to pull it down. That's why you have to climb up the mast. I mean, you know, I guess it's kind of like you only have one baseball and someone hits a home run and someone's got to go get the ball or you can't play. So
we've been speaking with Walt Ranieri, and we just have about a minute left, and you're heading up to Ontario for a fleet thing with Kingston Yacht Club, is that right?
Yeah, so the 2019 Fleet Blind Racing World Championships are at the Kingston Yacht Club in Ontario, Canada. For those of you who want to follow, you can go to blindsailinginternational.org to check it out, and it's an opportunity for – it's kind of like the world championships of any sport. It's every other year. It's fleet and match, and it's a great opportunity to for all of us to get together and see, you know, who's been training well enough to move forward. And you know, one thing that I'm going to say to your listeners, because just a few seconds left, is for any of you who think that something happens in your life and something becomes too hard, too frustrating, too time consuming, I'm here to tell you, you can do it. With a little adaptation, sprinkle in some courage, you can do it. And it's just a matter of getting through sometimes some dark periods in your life. But there's an anti-pity party at the end of that. And here I am. I'm on version B of my life. And I'm not sure that I would have gone sailing if I hadn't gone blind.
Amazing stuff and inspiration to all of us. Walt Ranieri, thank you so much for coming in. We really appreciate it. And I'm Rick Tittle. Karen, we'll see you next week.
Next week, 9:37.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity to come in.
Great stuff. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back.